Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
In Mark chapter 10, Jesus had an encounter with a young man who was very wealthy. And this young man came to Jesus and he asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said to him, "Well, you need to keep the commandments." And he just went down the list of all these things, all the thou shalt nots and all. And the young man said, all that I've done since I was just a little fella, since my youth up, I've done that." And Jesus then said, "Well, one thing you lack is you need to go your way, sell all your goods and give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me." And the Bible says that that young man was sad at that word. He went away sorrowful because he was very rich. And so Jesus used that opportunity to teach his disciples a lesson. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 23, we pick up the story where it says, "Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'Oh, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God.'" Now notice, Jesus didn't ask a question there. He makes a declaration. And it's about those who would put the things of this world ahead of serving him and giving up all for him. "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them," now before we look at what Jesus said, they were astonished. Maybe you have been in the church a long time, and yet you hear something out of Scripture for the first time, and you think, "How did I miss that?" Here we have these men who had been walking with Jesus all his ministry. We're at the end of the ministry of Jesus, because in the next verses, Jesus for the third time predicts his death and resurrection and then heads to Jerusalem for about the last week of his life. And here these men have been with him. Now, understand, and let's get it in our minds. Jesus, whom they saw walk on the water, whom they heard teach as no one had ever taught before. Jesus, the one that they saw heal the sick, raise the dead, made the lame to walk and the blind to see. Jesus. And yet here their thinking is still off. Here they've been with Jesus all this time and they've still missed it. And so, my friends, you and I, here we are this morning. Now, I've been in church for a long time. As soon as my mother came home with me from the hospital, the next week I was in the nursery. And I have been in church and been hearing about church and heard about it in my home and have been preaching about it for a long time. Should I take for granted that I know? Should you take for granted that you know and that you haven't missed what it means to have eternal life and what it takes for a person to be saved? Jesus addresses his disciples with these words. You see, verse 24, "But Jesus answered again and said to them, 'Would you grow up?'" You see that? You see that there? He says, "Children, Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I've heard many sermons on that passage of scripture, and I've heard men talk about what they thought that meant. And I've heard men talk about, well, there in Jerusalem in the wall, there was this small gate, and it was referred to as the eye of a needle. And if a camel was going to go through that eye of a needle, that camel had to get down on its knees and its owner had to kind of lead it and prod it through. It had to just squeeze up and just really get humble, if you please, to go through it. And that's what it means whenever Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit eternal life. I think it means that it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for someone that trusts in riches to go to heaven. I just like what Jesus said about it. I think if we needed any other explanation, he probably would have told us. But I think that makes it simple enough that if we trust in riches, you may as well try to put a camel through the eye of a needle. I have trouble putting thread through the eye of a needle, and much less a camel. And then the Bible says, they were greatly astonished. So they were even more confused now than they were before he started into this explanation. Has that ever happened to you? You think that you come to church, you think you get into God's word, you think, okay, if I will walk what Jesus taught, then things are going to get better and I'm going to have greater understanding. And yet the enemy has come and he has done his best to make things even more confusing in your life. And so the Bible says here that now they were even more astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Let's have a vocabulary test here. Gospel, good news, good news. Now, everybody together, you got it on your paper. Here's your word. Here's your test word for today. The word gospel means? There you go. Let's not forget that. In a day in which we have so much confusion in our country, the political climate reminds me of a gorilla with a blowtorch in a room full of dynamite. I've never seen it so crazy as it is today. We need good news. Who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time? Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The Bible here tells us we have a problem. And the disciples had a problem. They had been with Jesus for all this time and had seen everything that he had done, and they still didn't have their thinking right. They still hadn't understood. Because you see, in that day and time, and probably in today's day, there are a lot of people back then that thought, well, if someone has made it rich and they're very generous to others, and they are good, then they must be going to heaven. People still think that today. I do so many funerals, and so many of them are people who do not know Christ as Savior. And I hear people tell me all the time, oh, Brother Dan, I know he's going to heaven because he is so good. Or she was so good. A man called me up one time. Just a friend. Matter of fact, doesn't go to church anywhere. He said, can you meet me? Well, I hadn't seen him in a good while. And when I saw him, I couldn't believe it. He had lost about 100 pounds. And I just almost didn't recognize the guy. I got in his truck. We drove way back in this field. He had gotten depressed. He had gotten discouraged. He had had a health issue. He was convinced he was dying. He got better, and he's doing fine now, health-wise. But on that day, I asked him, I said, well, let's talk about your spiritual life. I said, what do you think that it takes for someone to have eternal life and to go to heaven when they die? And he looked at me and he said, goodness, goodness. I looked back at him and the Lord just gave me an answer. I said, that's one O too many. He looked at me and he said, being good. I said, no, that's one O too many. It's not good that gets you to heaven. It's God that gets you to heaven. You and I cannot get ourselves to heaven. The best that man can do, the very best that man can do, with all of his limitations, is his exaggerations and his imaginations. That's just the best you can do. You know, you just cannot, we think about ourselves and we think about how good we are. You know, man can accomplish some really neat things. Matter of fact, my little hometown of Avenger has less than 40 in high school, the whole high school. They have 7 players on the boys' basketball team. They now call them the Magnificent 7 because they are in the state playoffs. They play the semifinals this Thursday in San Antonio. They play the semifinal game and should go on to win state. And they just beat this past Friday night. They beat the Avenger Indians, beat the Lipan Indians by 2 points. Lipan was 32-0. They were number one in state, but Avenger was number two, and we whipped them. Don't any of y'all get sick and need me there, because I'm going to be in San Antonio on Thursday. But anyway, how many of you ever played on a championship team, a playoff team? Can I see your hands? Okay. All right. I want to tell you something. We're not as good as we remember we were. You know, in our minds, we just kind of get a little bigger and better and stronger, and we think, you know what? Yeah, those are some pretty good teams I got now, but boy, they couldn't. They didn't have a chance against us. We could play them now. It's a good thing they can't play us now. We would look miserable. Jesus said, with man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What is it that is impossible that you have going on in your life right now? There's something you have going on with your child. Something you have going on in your marriage, something you have going on at work, something you have going on with relatives or with parents, something you have going on, and it just seems like there is not anything that can be done. Have you ever tried giving it over to God and let God get into the situation? The Bible teaches us here that Jesus said that whenever we humble ourselves, when we become last, He will make us first. Whenever He becomes first in our lives and we become last, amazing what happens. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe one day I'm going to take off up in the air. I believe one day that Jesus is coming back and that He is going to take His saints out of this world, those who have trusted Him as Savior. And I believe one of these days I'm just going to start going up. I just hope I'm close to 2 lost people at that time. I'm going to grab one by each hand, get about 40 feet off the ground, say, do you believe? I'll let go. I believe I can fly. I believe one day that it can happen for everyone. I remember the first time I ever flew. I was a youth minister at North Jackson Baptist Church in Palestine. One of the youth's daddies came by and said, "Brother Dan, come on, I need you to go with me." I said, "Okay, where are we going, John?" He said, we're going to go get lunch. Okay. Let him buy lunch. We went out to the little Palestine airport. I said, "Oh, they got a cafe out here." He said, "I'll see that plane." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Get on it." I said, "Whoa." I said, "The Bible says, in low, I'm with you always. Now let's just stay." He said, "Just get on the plane." So we got on his brother-in-law's plane. Three of us got in there. We flew over to Tyler, and he bought my lunch at the airport. We got a hamburger there and flew back. I remember the first time I flew. Now, y'all know Rex Miller here, don't you? Rex, would you raise your hand, please? Rex was on a plane, and they were flying back, and they got into a bunch of turbulence. And Rex said, "Dear Lord, you get me down to the ground off this plane safely, I'll give you half of everything I own." And Christina looked over to him. They got to the ground safely, finally. They were walking through the airport, and Christina said, "Rex, are you really going to give the church half everything we have?" He said, "No." He said, "I'd make God a better deal than that." She said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I told God if he ever caught me on a plane again, I'd give him everything I had." I believe I can fly. I am looking forward to that flight that the Lord is going to give to those who know him as personal Savior. I believe I can fly. You know, you take a sheet of paper and you drop it. You turn it loose, it's just going to fall to the ground. But if you were to take that sheet of paper and fold it just right, you could take it and you see there's not only the law of gravity that says what goes up must come down, but there's also the law of aerodynamics. And if you fold that piece of paper just right, you can take it and throw it. And I tried it in the early service and it didn't do so well, but you got the picture. But I want to tell you what you can do. You can take a paper sack, little paper sack, and you turn it loose and it's going to fall. But if you take one of those little tiny, what do you call them, a tea candle, is that what they're called? And you attach that with some strings to that sack, turn it upside down, attach it to it, and light that. Then there's a law called the law of thermodynamics that takes over. And you'll be amazed at how the heat from that will hold that little sack up. As a matter of fact, it can even float on out of sight, and then you can go and set the woods on fire with it. But you know what? There's a law that says the wages of sin is death. But then there is the law that says, but whosoever will may come. And there's the law that says, for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here comes the law. And that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right now, if you're living under the law of sin, and you have experienced what all of us, for the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and you know that the wages of sin is death, I am so thrilled to announce to you this morning that there is the law of good news, the law that says whosoever will may come, and that if you will believe in him, you will have everlasting life. I invite you this morning to give your heart to Christ. I invite you to become a part of his church here on Old River. Now, I have one last thing I want to share with you. I have not worn this coat in a while because this coat is special. And I hadn't shown you this in a while, but this is my magic coat. Are you ready? Magic coat. Raise both arms. Magic coat. Raise your right arm. Magic coat, raise your left arm. My soul, y'all. It's kind of embarrassing. Oh, hold on. I forgot one little important part. Magic coat, raise your right arm. Now put it down. Magic coat, raise your left arm. Now put it down. Magic coat, flap both arms. It's been nice knowing you. You are looking at me like Brother Danny. Bless his heart. That is the dumbest thing I believe I have ever seen in my life. No, it's not. No, it's not. Dumbest thing you and I have ever seen in our lives is somebody trying to do what they are, what God wants them to do without God inside of them. The dumbest thing anyone has ever tried to do in their lives is to be forgiven of their sins and go to heaven when they die without God, without the Lord Jesus in their lives. Do you have him in your life? Do you have him in your life? I pray that you will remember that crazy illustration just then, and that you will not leave here today without wanting and being assured that Jesus lives in you. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I invite you to stand and bow in prayer with me.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.